This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's September 26th, episode 1007, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
Worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on this Friday morning. We appreciate you stopping by. You know, I saw this post yesterday, and I had to read it to Jennifer because it just cracked us up, and it was on Facebook. Somebody put it on there. It said, "We can't get my son Lucas to eat one bit of meat. As a vegetarian, I have been so proud until now when I just found him with a mouthful of dog food." You're depriving this child. Obviously, he is yearning for protein.
Oh, God, it was so disgusting because there is nothing. Like, I'm like, what are you chewing on? Oh, God. And then you have to, like, stick your finger in their mouth and pull out wet, chewed up kibble. Ugh, so gross. Oh, he stunk like dog food. It was, and, of course, he's like, kiss me. Give me a kiss. Like, vomit. It's so gross. I can't believe it. I know that one of our listeners, Betty Faye, typed in, there's probably no meat in dog food anyway. And I'm like, not the expensive crap I have to buy for my dog that can't eat, has to have grain-free, you know, no gluten, whatever. Oh, it was so...
Isn't it ironic that you're a vegetarian and you have to buy your dog this expensive meat dog food?
Yes, it's awful. I hate it. It drives me crazy. Chad's like, seriously, maybe I should have some dog food because it's like all the meat I'm going to get.
Chad probably looks so forward to lunch at the base. I'm sure he's having like meatloaf and steak and pork and chicken every day.
You know, that's fine. I don't care. But I hate the fact that I sit my son down and I'm like, I have steamed sweet potatoes for you and we also have some tomatoes and we have this and that and this and that and this. All of these 19 things and I put them all down one at a time and he throws them. Yet he eats the freaking dog food. Like, are you kidding me? Dog food.
You know, I actually thought about this after you posted that yesterday. I was reading some of the comments, which were very funny, and a lot from our listeners chiming in. I was thinking, you know, if I had started dating a vegetarian, would I have married a vegetarian? And, God, that would have been a tough one. Boy, there has to be lot more there. There has to be really a lot there.
Well, there is a lot here, baby. But listen, I'm telling you. That I have actually dated two vegetarians. Like, I can't say date. I went on dates with two other vegetarians, and they drove me freaking crazy. And I'm like, I can't date a vegetarian. It's awful. They're so annoying.
That's funny. Well, Jennifer, I know it's Friday, and Jamie and I are in a mood, so don't, anything we have planned could go out the window, but let's at least start with a plan.
The plan is on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition. The accidental Appaloosa is at it again. That's right. Lakota Lace, who we met a couple of weeks ago, was a ribbon magnet at the Region 5 Dressage Championships. So rider Shannon Dahmer is stopping by with the particulars. And then filling in the intervening empty audio space, we've got some horsey headlines and a lame list. And then ending with a flourish, really bad ads. So stay tuned for the parade, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And it is time for my daily week. My Daily Winnie is one of these.
Happy birthday, happy.
Actually, I'm a day late, but she's a member of our family, so she deserves it. And that's Leslie Wiley's birthday from Horse Nation.
Woo-hoo!
Yesterday. And she dropped me a little note and said that she was on vacation for her birthday in California in Napa Valley. So she said she was going to drink her way through the wineries for her birthday. So,
amen.
You know, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good birthday right there. So happy
Absolutely.
Birthday, Leslie. We'll talk to you on Monday.
My Daily Winnie goes out to my vote in the Retired Racehorse Project. Jennifer posted a link yesterday on our Facebook page. So I went to it and I literally spent like wasted an hour of my day reading all about all these different horses that are on this project. So Jennifer, well, it's kind of there's 10 retired racehorses, and they're all
right.
in training for different jobs. And you can vote for, I don't know what the voting criteria is. It says vote for your favorite. So I don't know if it's about training or this or that. They've got a horse. So I'm going to go through them real quick, Glenn. So you have to pick one, okay? Because we're all going to talk about who you
voted
for.
Oh, I already did.
Okay.
I know
discreet,
who you did.
Discreet Dancer is a show jumper. It's a Little Chili is a polo horse. Mad Bomber, Pony Clubber. Ichabod Crane Eventing. Rickham is ranch work. Of course, Ichabod Crane is Philip Dutton's horse. We've talked to Philip and Graham Motion on the show. Rickham is doing ranch work. Dale Simmons-Cementon is the one who's training that horse, so we've talked to him too. A steeplechase jockey by the owner of Jazz Napravnik. Somebody's sister. So Outspoken. Saber Rock is a fox hunter in training. Now and Then is a dressage horse in training. De Sauvage is a show hunter in training. And Pookie's Princess is barrel horse in training. So everybody has to go and pick their favorite and vote, because this is so fun. And reading about the training with all of them is really, really cool. Jennifer, who's your favorite? And why?
I voted for Rickham.
Yay! Dale's horse, Rickham, the ranch horse. Tell us a little bit about him.
He's cool.
I voted him for
him because I just think it's so cool that the thoroughbreds who founded the quarter horse breed, hello, founding horses were thoroughbreds, get to go back to ranch horse. They're going back to their roots, and I just think that's pretty awesome. And Rickham seems to be a natural. They have a really cool video up there of Rickham practicing a little bit of cow work with a what breed is he? It's this little steer they keep around. They keep him around. It's some dairy breed, a little tiny thing, and they keep him around just for practicing cow work with the young horses. And it's so cute watching Rickham chase the cow around. So I voted for Rickham.
Awesome. And Glenn, I don't think we have to guess who you voted for.
I spent hours just looking at every video, reading the backstories on every one of these horses. And I, after careful consideration and much time spent on Jazz Napravnik's Facebook page, checking out how hot she was, voted for So Outspoken. And I don't want you to consider that shallow at all, because I really did my research.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know you did. I'm proud of you. Actually, is she, in your words, as hot as her sister?
Yeah, she is, actually. She is, she's kind of a hottie. So I think that So Outspoken is a wonderful horse. He is the son of Bernardini, sold for $350,000 at Keeneland as a yearling. And I don't know anything else except that Jazz is really hot. So, yeah, that gets my vote.
And, you know, most of the horses...
You guys overcomplicate everything.
You know, men just oversimplify everything.
Look, there's a horse too.
You're ridiculous. Well, my pick is actually a horse named Mad Bomber, and Mad Bomber is currently being trained by Hannah Gilhool, and Hannah is a Pony Clubber. And this is really, really cool. She is the owner's retired Mad Bomber from racing as an allowance horse because they say they didn't want him to become a cheap claimer. And then they went on to say, we were saving him for someone like Hannah. She was invited to represent the Pony Club in this event, and on her 16th birthday, she met Mad Bomber. And I love the quote from her mom. She said she's a little nervous about Hannah training a 17-hand, 5-year-old ex-racehorse that the owners describe as strong and always ridden by men. But we can still be
that's a man's horse.
16th birthday, she meets the horse. And I love to read, you know, like they kind of do a blog. And at 16 years old, I never would have said, we've been working on developing the correct muscles for a balanced movement. It's going to take time to balance them out. But like, I was not that smart at 16 and that horse savvy at 16. And she is just really coming along well with him. So I was pulling for the Pony Clubber. So you guys can go on and we're going to repost this and just say who's your favorite. Cast your vote because right now in the lead is, let's see, I think it's changed a little bit. Here goes. Patricia King and Pookie's Princess is in the lead with 24% of the votes. That's the Feral Racing Horse. The Savage, the Show Hunter's in second. Philip Dutton's in third with Ichabod Crane. And then Rickham is in fourth. My dear Mad Bomber is in, kind of way down there. So let's go ahead and vote for your favorites and let us know. Jasna Pravnik, Glenn, is second to last. So you better
I see that.
Have a strong
what the heck?
Push.
What's so, wrong with it?
I don't know. It's a popularity contest.
Oh. It won't let
you
me
vote
again.
Oh, good.
No, it won't let me.
So, yeah, there you go. So go check it out. It's a retiredracehorseproject.org. We'll post the link on our Facebook page and get to go check it out and vote for your favorites. And let us know who you voted for and why. I want to know.
Very good. All right. I got something here before we get on with the show. This is from Kayla, who is Frankie Lovato's right-hand person. Remember, we talked about Kayla, and she handles a lot of the stuff for the jockey school and things like that.
Yeah.
And helped him with his radio show and stuff. Well, she was supposed to come on this morning because they have an event this weekend, and she wrote to me this morning and said she didn't think she could get through it emotionally. So she wrote up a little something that she wanted me to read, and this is about the event this weekend. The Sandy Lovato Stampede of Dreams Memorial Concert with Templeton Thompson is going to be held this Sunday, September 28th, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern. First and foremost, it's a way for Frankie and family to say thank you to all who knew and loved Sandy and have supported them during this time. All proceeds of the event will go toward the Stampede of Dreams Winter Horse Care Fund to help feed and take care of the Stampede of Dreams horses over the winter months. More information on the event and how to donate can be found at stampedeofdreams.org. You can also find a link there to the radio show, which will be airing live beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern. I have it on my calendar to take a listen, with Templeton Thompson singing. And this is from Frankie. He says, this is definitely one of the toughest challenges I've ever faced in my life. However, the support from family and friends has been beyond amazing. I knew Sandy was loved and admired, but had no idea how many people she's touched and the life and left an impression and example on during her life. I want to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart for everything. I will do everything in my power to pull through this, and that is what Sandy would want from myself and anyone who loved her. So he's hanging in there. He's trying to get the day-to-day things done. He still has two businesses now to run, so he's trying to keep busy with that, but I'm sure it's been tough this last couple of weeks. So if you're in the area, I know, Uto, you live up that way, right near him. If you want to stop by and to the concert, I'm sure they would be happy to see you. You can represent us here at the Horse Radio Network and let us know how it went, and give Templeton and Frankie a big hug for us. So that's what's going on there, an update. And next up, well, we have our guest. Jamie, do you want to chat with her?
Yeah, I'd love to. You guys will remember Shannon Dahmer because we had her on the show August 29th. It was episode 988, and Shannon Dahmer Dressage is the website. And you'll have to go look at it because she has the cutest Appaloosa in the world. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're great. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, give everybody a little brief recap on what was about to happen the last time we talked. Tell everybody about your horse, and then what show you were going to go to.
He is an 11-year-old Appaloosa, and we had qualified for regionals, which was held at the Colorado Horse Park in Parker, Colorado. And that was, I guess that was last weekend. It seems like it was a while ago, but it was just last weekend. And he had qualified for Pre-St. George, and I won. And then with the regional championships, they run our local Rocky Mountain Dressage Society champ. He qualified for both, and he did super well, which...
I just want to remind everybody that Pre-St. George and I won, she qualified, and she's on an Appaloosa. Just wanted to throw that back out there. Appaloosa.
That's right.
So,
an Appaloosa riding in a snaffle.
Snaffle? Oh, my God. Is that even allowed at a dressage show?
I know. At that level,
did the bit
I
checker go, no, you can't come in unless you have two reins in your hands.
Now, they, at that right. level, they do allow double bridles, right?
They do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're riding against warm bloods with double bridles on and fancy expensive horses, and you're sitting on an Appaloosa probably getting looks. Now everybody's scared of you because they know you're so good. How did you do?
Well, he ended up getting reserve champion in
Woo-hoo!
Every single one of his classes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
And it was tight. Some of the scores were pretty cool. I mean, you know, one little point here or there. You know, I hadn't have done, you know, mental error, or my center line would have been a little straighter, or my halt was a little square. It was pretty tight. The scores were pretty tight in some of the classes. So he went out there and held his own with his spots.
I've got to ask you, I'm looking at what happened here. So you had the FEI Pre-St. George, and you had a couple horses there, a second-level test, FEI test, fourth-level test. How do you remember these tests, or do you have a caller?
No. For championships, everything has to be memorized. So
how do you not get them mixed up?
I have to, like, pick, you know, like, okay, what am I riding, and tell myself that, like, 10 times. Okay, you're riding Pre-St. George today. And then, you know, depending on what test, when you come down the center line, you either track right or left. So you have to be, like, track right, track right, track right, track right.
Yeah.
You know, and once I track the correct way, then I'm like, oh, yeah, it's this test. But, like, I have to remind myself that over and over again, like, as I'm going around the arena, okay, you got to track right. So
yes, now, I see, I've done that, too, like, to remember which test I'm doing, or to, like, because we have, like, A and B tests in eventing, and which test, I'm doing the A, which is track right. However, there's only two choices, track right or track left, and you are in four different classes. So there's going to be... a multiple amounts of tracking one direction. So
this is
your
true.
System is flawed. Your system is flawed. there's got to be more to it than that. Do you run through the test, like, right before you go in? Like, how do you do that?
I will look, like, I'll, you know, we have a test booklet, so I'll just kind of scan it just to be like, yeah. But, you know, we have to ride these tests to qualify. All summer, so you have to ride that test.
Okay.
A lot.
So,
and then, like, each level through fourth level, the highest test of that level, so say third level test 3, second level test 3, fourth level test 3, all the odd tests, you always track left. So, like, that's one way to remember it. That, you know, if you're writing one or three, you're always going to track left. If you're writing the even number, you track right. So, that helps. That helps. And then the FEI, it's not, that's a little confusing, but.
Well, now it gets confusing. All of a sudden it's
And then
confusing.
You got to have a lot of Starbucks before you go, and you got to be awake and be like, okay, here I go, all right. I'm ready to go. I've got my coffee fuel, and so.
Well, we are so proud of you and your Appaloosa. Now, I do have a question, because this is a question for anybody riding dressage, is when you in between shows, and you have to memorize your test and you have to practice it, do you just run through the whole test several times, or do you just take little movements? Are you afraid of your horse learning the test and starting to guess?
Yeah, he does know the test. So I like to run through it just so that you kind of know that you're clicking on all cylinders. Like, you can you can ask for as much as you can ask, and where you can push him, or, you know, you kind of have to be like, well, I better take it easy here because he's going to anticipate this, you know, particular movement. So I'll run through it, you know, maybe a couple days before, but I like, you know, in between shows, I like to take them, like, out in the field, and I'll do some of the movements, like, out in the pasture, and not, you know, so they're not always in the arena, just to kind of break it up a little bit. And maybe I'll run through it out there so that they're not, it's a little bit different for them, and they're not like, oh, we're coming to, you know, now we're coming to A, I know I'm going to halt and rein back, you know, and they're like starting to slow down. Like Lakota, he knows every time we come down the center line, like when I practice it with him to halt at X, I never halt at X. Like when I'm, unless I'm actually running through the test, I like keep going like all the way up, because he starts hitting the brakes and I'm hitting the gas and he's hitting the brakes and I'm like, no, we're not to X yet. You cannot stop. He's like, I know we're halting here. So we have this little, I have to kind of try and outsmart him, outthink him, because when we're in there, he does. He's like, no, we're almost to X. I'm like, no, we're not. We're not there yet. So I have to do a few things with him because, you know, he knows the minute you hit that center line, he's like, oh, we need to halt right now. No, we're not quite there yet.
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. It's funny how
they three judges.
Oh, yeah?
So everybody sees you from every angle. So it's not like just the judges sitting at the front of the arena. There's a judge on the side. There were two judges at the front of the arena. So
you can't get away with anything.
Halting early. Uh-uh.
How rude.
I had a horse too that thought he knew everything. He's like, no, I'm pretty sure we canter here. And I'm like, no, that's the other test. It's like, quit
guessing.
That's
the other test. That's right. He's like, oh, no, you're not. No. Oh, he just blew points right there. He's really smart. He knows.
Or the fact in eventing, you don't. For the lower levels, you don't halt at X going in, but in every dressage show and test, you do. And so when I was doing dressage shows and events with this particular horse, he would either try to halt or not halt. And it was always the opposite place. So it was always
what needed to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's cool. Well, I'm glad that you answered that question a little bit. Now, I want to know, honestly, Shannon, you get your horse tacked up, and you head out to the warm-up arena, okay? And you are legged up on your Appaloosa in a field of pre-St. George horses. What exactly is the, like, do you have spies around that are going, yeah, she says this about you, and she's talking about, do you hear people talking about you behind your back?
He actually really makes everybody smile because first they take a look like, what are you doing? Or, you know, I'll have people come by and say, wow, you do a really good job with him. And it's funny because people do, I think they they might get a little bit like, oh, the freaking Appaloosa beat me, you know, or
yeah.
the Spotted Horse beat me. You know, I've heard, not that, I mean, everybody gets along really good and, you know, whatever, but
sure.
they
sure, whatever.
Do you hear some
yeah, wait till you
little...
get, wait till you get higher up the FBI level, that'll change.
That's right. You do hear some little whispers of like, ah, you know, I can't believe, you know, you got beat, you know, so, and it's whatever, you know. I'm like,
and all of their
yeah,
friends are going,
clean test.
All of their friends back at the trailer are going, you got beat by an Appaloosa.
You got beat by an Appaloosa. What? And yeah. I mean, the horse, like, I mean, I'm in the warm-up and, you know, there's different horses that catch your eye and you're like, oh, that's a nice horse, you know. And so you just have to, like, know it, you know, you just go in and do the best job you can and try and have a clean test. And he,
you know,
he's so correct in the way he does everything. No, he's not this big, fancy mover, but technically he does it really correctly. So, he, you know, he
you know,
gets
Shannon,
the score.
Who I feel bad for is the 16-year-old daughter who harassed and harangued her father into buying her the $50,000 warm blood. And they go to the championship, and she comes into second place behind an Appaloosa that you probably spent, you know, a tenth of that on. And all of a sudden, the father's going, why didn't I spend $50,000 when you could have been riding an Appaloosa?
Right. I know. Well, the fun thing is, you know, I mean, yes, it's nice to have that kind of horse, but... I mean, it's, you know, it's nice to say, hey, look, you know what? You don't have to have a bazillion-dollar budget to go do this and have fun. You know, he's got a good mind. He likes to learn. And, no, he's not, you know, he's not this big floaty knock-your-socks-off mover, but he's a nice mover. And as long as you have a horse that has, you know, nice gaits and it's trained well, there's no reason you can't go out and get a good score. Call it math.
Absolutely.
I do the math. I'm like, okay, he's really good on his pirouettes. Well, that's times two. And no, he's not going to get a big score on his gaits. But, you know, so as long as you can break it down by each movement and, you know, get a seven, like if you could get a seven on everything in your test, you'd get a 70%. So.
Yeah, or get it. If you may get a six on a couple, you just got to make up with it with some eights. I get it.
Right, on a times two, right? So, yeah. You know, you're like, okay, well, no, he doesn't have a big extended trot, but, you know, I can go get an eight on my canter pirouette times two. So, it's, you know, it's kind of like math when you think about it like that. So,
I just love that you're talking about. You're talking about your canter pirouettes and you're riding an Appaloosa. Like, that's just so cool, girl. That's just awesome. Well, congratulations to you guys and doing so well at the show. Reserve champion.
I know,
which
qualified us for nationals.
Yay.
Oh, my gosh.
So we get to now go to Kentucky and compete against more big warm bloods throughout the country. So,
when is that?
That is November 6th through the 9th at Kentucky Horse Park.
Mm-hmm. Are they doing it indoors?
I don't know if they're doing it indoors or in the big wake.
Yeah,
because
it gets
kind of
chilly,
you know,
by November there, so that's why I was asking.
I don't know.
Before we let you go, I was just on your Facebook page. Are you on vacation right now?
I am. I'm in Montana. I'm in Holston.
Well, thank you for getting up so early to talk to us on vacation. And
well,
the other
we're on
cool
our
thing,
way home, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, and you went to Glacier Park, and it looks like you had a great time.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. If you guys have never been there, I highly suggest that would be a top 10 things on your list to go see. It's spectacular. And Flathead
and
Lake.
Shannon, Shannon does not only apparently drive Appaloosas, she also drives Trans Ams. Is that yours, or was that something you
no,
just had
fun
with?
That's my uncle's Trans Am.
Okay.
And we took the top off to go look at the leaves up in Glacier. So we drove the Corvette and the Trans Am, which I've yet to do ever in Glacier Park. So that was quite the treat. Mm-hmm.
I bet. And you look really good driving it. You look like you belong in a Trans Am.
Does it look like, you know, I could do a sports car. Not only Appaloosas, I could do a sports car. Smokey and the Bandit. Yeah.
Thank you, Shannon. Well, you'll keep in touch with us as you go into Nationals?
Yes, we're going to Nationals. So I'll update you guys on how it goes. So it'll
Please
be really
right, very
fun.
Good.
So thank you for having me on. That was fun.
Shannon, we
Thanks.
Adopt things. Here on this show, we have adopted jockeys, and they're people that are our favorites. You are now our adopted dressage rider.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate
that. Means you're
that.
Part of the family. Yep, part of the family.
Yay.
But do not call Dad for money, because that's not going to happen. So, just
no
saying.
Sponsorships. Right. No, you know.
Hey, you know what? We'll send you a saddle pad. There we go. We'll send you a saddle pad.
Oh, that would be fun. That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. That would be awesome.
Work on that, Glenn. Work on that.
All right, I'll work on that. Hey, Shannon. ShannonDahmerDressage.com is the website if you want to see more about her, or you can also check her out in her hot car on her Facebook page. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you, guys. Okay, bye.
She's fun. She's a lot of fun. You know, it is pretty cool. When you look at her scores here, 66, 66, 68, you know, there are some good scores here.
That's fantastic. She's so sweet talking about her competitors, but you just know that at first when she was, they were like, oh, that's cute, an Appaloosa. And now that she's beating them, they're like, it's that effing Appaloosa again.
Yeah.
At first when it's a novelty, it's like, oh, that's it. Look at that. That's so neat. Now it's like, God, I hate that horse. Because I'd be like
All right,
that.
Let's take a break for Kentucky Performance Products, and we're coming back. We have a lot of news and some fun stuff that we're going to do for the next half hour. It's just going to be Jamie and I and Jen for the next half hour, but we have some interesting stuff for you, including a complaint from all the way from Australia we have to deal with. So we're gonna get to that in just a minute. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Feeding your horse starch-laden grains can lead to colic, laminitis, and metabolic disease. Today, nutritionists are recommending the use of high-quality fat to provide healthy calories. Fat is an extraordinary energy source. It's readily utilized by the horse and contains more than 2 times the calories of starchy grains. Replacing grain with a high-quality fat supplement reduces a horse's risk of developing health problems. Equijoule Stabilized Rice Bran is an excellent fat supplement. It contains a balanced calcium to phosphorus ratio and won't cause mineral imbalances when added to the diet. Its all-natural ingredients are high in healthy fat and fiber. And best of all, horses fueled by Equijoule stay calmer and more focused on the job at hand. When you need to add healthy calories to your horse's diet, choose Equijoule. To learn more, visit Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Well, thanks to Kentucky Performance Products for their continued support of Horses in the Morning. Well, before we get into, we have something serious we want to get into, but I have to do this, Jamie. We haven't done it in a long time. Remember how occasionally I would go through Google and I would take a look at recent studies, and we did a segment called Study Show. You know what studies show? And I just do the headlines. Well, I have one for you here today, and there are some real winners on this list. All right, so here we go. This is over the last month. This is just for the last month. I Googled study show, and this is what we came up with. First one's great, and it might relate to Mel's email or Mel's complaint a little bit later in the show. Studies show Australians rarely have sex while they're sober.
Ah!
You could probably say that about most any country, to be honest. Studies show pregnancy and pot don't mix.
No.
Now, I know. Again, please send us all the money you've spent on these studies, because we can do it for a quarter of the cost. Studies show tornado season is peaking earlier in the plains. Studies
Isn't
show
tornado season year-round in the plains?
Yeah, pretty much anymore. It seems like that, doesn't it? They're having them all the time. Studies show other teens contribute most to teen car crashes. And what that meant was other teens in the car are contributing to the crashes because they're goofing around. Again, please send me that study money. I could have saved you a lot of money. I think half. It would have been fun.
Just ask,
written a headline.
Just ask me, when we were teens, did we get into crashes? Because yes. Yes.
There was one the other day. Did you see this? There was one the other day that they wrecked the car. I mean, totally rolled it because the one teen lit the other teen's armpit hair on fire.
Oh, my gosh. I bet they were I bet they were filming it, too.
They
to
probably
get on to
were.
A million
totally
hits.
Totaled the car, rolled the thing. Studies show dogs have separation anxiety when kids and parents leave in the morning.
No.
Okay. No, I didn't know that at all. Nope, nope. Oh, there's another one about dogs. You're going to love this one. Studies show cat people are smarter than dog people. Ooh, there's a slam on dog people. I took offense to that.
Wait, what? No, the studies show cat people are smarter than dog people?
The dog people. And they did a study of college students who have higher grades. This is what they did. I had to read this one. They did a study of college students that have higher grades as opposed to college students that don't have higher grades. And they asked them whether they were a cat person or a dog person. And apparently cat people are smarter.
Study paid for by the American feline industry.
That's right. Exactly. Studies show talk therapy effective treatment for depression.
Wait, well, isn't that why people have been going to therapists for like ever?
I know. I thought that too. Oh, here we go. Studies show that breakfast is not a significant factor in weight loss after all. I didn't know it was a significant factor in weight loss, but apparently,
you know what?
Why...
No, they say that eating breakfast starts your metabolism, but next week it'll be totally different. It's like coffee's good for you, bad for you. Red wine's good for you, bad for you. You know, studies show that studies are going to change.
Oh no, I'll get to that one. Americans aren't saving for retirement. Studies show. Well, that was again. Studies show shopping is healthy for you. So there you go.
Yes.
And we've determined that wine's good for you. So studies show we could just change it to studies show shopping and wine are good for you.
Yeah.
Studies show shopping while drinking wine is great for you. I mean, that'd be like perfect. You'd live forever.
Somebody could pay us a lot of money.
I know.
And
we
would be happy. Yeah.
Studies show that physically active kids perform better academically. I think that we've heard that one before. You're going to love this one. Studies show that an increase in Facebook usage is heavily linked to a decrease in satisfaction with your own life or higher likelihood of depression.
Huh?
Do you think it's from reading all those posts from people who are so happy and on vacation driving Trans Ams in Glacier, in Glacier National Park? Do you think it just depresses you to see other people being happy? Is that what they're trying to
say? You know, my brother says that the worst thing about his day is when people post photos of their feet and the beach in the background. He's like, I hate that more than anything. So the last time I went to the beach, I took like 12 pictures of my photos, my feet in front of the ocean, and just kept sending them to him.
I think that's true, though. I think when people look through there, and everybody knows a person or two that are wealthy, that they're on their list, and they're always doing these amazing trips and always doing this other stuff, and you're there grinding it away at work, trying to get, you know, a half an hour to ride your horse at the end of the day before you have to do everything else with the kids and all that stuff, and then you're watching these people who are, like, in the Bahamas doing nothing but riding horses on the beach.
So basically what you're saying is studies show haters are going to hate. Hate is going to hate.
I got to ask you, do you sleep with one pillow or multiple pillows?
Oh, my God, like 15, multiple.
Oh, you're not going to like this. Studies show that people like Jamie, who sleep with multiple pillows, are often lonely and depressed.
That's funny. My husband's like, seriously, can we get rid of some of these pillows? I can't even find you. I'm like, it don't need to be found.
You're going to love the next one, too. Studies show that too much happiness can make you unhappy.
What?
That's I didn't bother reading that one. And I have one more. And this is true. This was the headline. Studies show many studies are false.
You know what? When I was in Atlanta doing my afternoon radio show on a top 40 station, we would do segments like 12% of men would say, you know, this. And literally every single time I would make it up. So whenever you hear people go, 42% of women find, you know, the overweight men attractive. Yeah, we made up that number. I made that up totally right then. But that sounded good, right? 42% of women find overweight men attractive. I just made that up.
Well, and probably if you had looked hard enough, you could have found a study done sometime that said that.
I know. Exactly. Like, who's going to challenge it? Really? Like, Google it. Seriously. Something will come up about it.
Well, anyway, there's my list of headlines for my studies show. I thought it was fun, this one. This particular batch was quite good. Well, let's get a little more serious here for a minute.
All right. Well, this is actually a really good letter written by somebody we may have all heard of, Priscilla Presley. And Priscilla Presley wrote a letter. Who did she write this letter to, Glenn?
This was in the Tennessean.com in the big newspaper down in Tennessee.
Okay, so the Tennessean, because, you know, obviously they are from Tennessee, and they are not that happy about what's going on in the Tennessee walking world. And you know, Elvis owned Tennessee Walking Horses, and I think that he's probably, you know, sick to his stomach right now, realizing what's going on in the Tennessee walking horse world. And Priscilla Presley has written a letter, and Glenn and I thought it was important enough to read because it's written very well. And it goes to show you who we need to talk to and who we need to call out to make some changes in the Tennessee walking horse world. Here's her letter. In December 2013, I requested the Tennessee Walking Horse National Celebration, which crowns the Tennessee Walking Horse World Grand Champion, return the Graceland Challenge Trophy due to the rampant abuse in the Tennessee Walking Horse's Big Lick segment known as horse soaring. This year, the event, which has been plagued with this abuse for more than half a century, saw inspectors from the Department of Agriculture disqualify nearly half of the horses they inspected at the 10-day event due to signs of current soaring, scarring, and other violations. Additionally, all five judges of the event have recorded violations of the HPA, the Horse Protection Act. Throughout the event, as they have in the past, the pro-soaring coalition in Tennessee continued to point fingers at the inspectors, arguing that the trainers were not violating the Horse Protection Act and abusing these majestic animals. But fortunately, the facts are on the side of the groups working together to eradicate soaring by working to pass Prevent All Soaring Tactics Act, introduced by so-and-so representatives in Tennessee and Kentucky. The bill has 305 co-sponsors in the House and 57 in the Senate. The PAST Act, is what it's called, is supported by more than 600 groups and key individuals, including the Veterinary Medical Association, the AAEP, Equine Practitioners, American Horse Council, Equestrian Federation, National Sheriffs Association, the former governor of Tennessee, the former walking horse president, Bill Harlan, and the veterinary medical associations from all 50 states. Here we go. This year's celebration was not such a celebration at all. Only three horses competed for the World Grand Championship, which typically a dozen or so entries do. Most of the horses had been disqualified in the weeks before by USDA inspectors. The crowd, which formerly boasted 30,000 fans in its heyday, dwindled to nearly 20% of that number, according to sources who attended. Yeah, so nobody's going. During the final week of the event, the media uncovered misrepresentations by the celebration's Veterinary Advisory Committee, which was clearly nothing more than a politically motivated move designed to lend credibility to the industry so trainers could continue to abuse horses. The horse that was crowned world grand champion, I Am Jose, was trained and ridden by Casey Wright, who has numerous violations of the Horse Protection Act for soaring and abusing horses, and all but one of the top 10 trainers who received the most prize money at the celebration have multiple violations. Astounding, isn't it? There is more. I must mention that the Pro Soaring Coalition brought noted cockfighting advocate B.L. Cozad to the grounds of the celebration to speak in its Hall of Fame Club against protecting animals from abuse. Now, I want to, on side note, this is me talking, not Priscilla Presley.
Did you say cockfighting?
Yes, cockfighting, okay. Which is like the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's awful. It's awful. So let me, Glenn, you do know what that is, right?
Oh, yeah. I do know what it is. I was shocked that they brought, okay, go on. I was in
shock. They brought a cockfighting. I want them all to sit down because you just make sure you're seated. Those of you cleaning stalls, lean against a wall. Cozad actually stated, now this is the cockfighting guy. Cozad actually stated, horse soaring is a victimless crime. Why is it illegal? Horse soaring is a victimless crime. Why is it illegal? To Mr. Cozad and the pro-soaring groups, I say there are victims. These victims are the horses that have no voice, the equine industry that is being destroyed by these crimes, and the Tennesseans who no longer want their state to be known as the horse abuse capital of the world. Over the past several months, I've had numerous conversations with House Majority. Mike, that gave me goosebumps. People think that. Oh. Over the past several months, I've had numerous conversations with House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy about bringing the PAST Act to a vote so this torture can be stopped for good. But it appears that Speaker John Boehner is now holding up legislation. I thank McCarthy for his time, efforts, and leadership on this issue and call on Boehner and State Majority Leader Harry Reid to bring the PAST Act to a vote during this Congress. Gentlemen, our country and our horses need you. Politics just tend to just constantly piss me off because it's like if you're not getting your pockets lined.
Oh, by the way,
this is me talking,
Harry
by the
Democrat,
way.
John Boehner, Republican. So we've got one of each. You know, so if you're going to get all political, don't bother because
Kevin McCarthy is a Republican.
Yeah, and it happens that John Boehner, the head of the House, is really good friends with Mitch McConnell, who is another Republican senator from Kentucky, who is on the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
So it's all politics. It's always politics, isn't it?
It's just, you know what, who's lining whose pockets? I've had a friend that worked in Washington, and he's like, nobody talks to you unless you're somebody who can give them money. Jennifer?
Yeah. I was reading the headlines on thehorse.com, as I do every morning. And, of course, the folks who run the Celebration Horse Show put out a press release on stellar and fantastic results that the USCA found when they inspected all of the horses at the show. And they were so pleased and proud and thrilled that none of the x-rays showed that the horses were wearing anything inside of their horseshoes that would poke them, prod them, or drive nails into the soles of their feet. They were so thrilled.
Oh,
completely different. If all you ever read about the horse show was that particular press release, you would think that all the rest of this is like really? No. Look, they didn't put any pressure shoes on them. They didn't have any nails in their shoes where they shouldn't be nails. Yeah, it was very interesting.
I'm sure it was a huge turnout, too, they probably wrote, that there was just no shortage of people there, though it was only 20% of the.
It's interesting that they talk about how the number of horses entering certain classes and certain shows keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. The Big Lick horses have been shown at the Pennsylvania National Horse Show from day one, as far as I know, at least from when I was a tiny little kid. And even then, in the 70s and early 80s, when I would go there as a kid, we'd skip school and go to the Nationals, the big lick classes would have four horses in them. That was a big class to have four or five. And it just baffles me that when you have classes like that, why are they so popular? Why do they have so much political power within the Tennessee walking horse industry when it's such a tiny segment? I don't get it.
Yeah, and you know what?
I don't know. Crazy.
If attendance was down that much.
But these people that are believers in it have money, Glenn. That's the problem.
Yeah,
it's the experience
true.
That I had with it. You know, I was brought into this farm to revamp it and get it all started, and I worked for 6 months cleaning the stalls, polishing everything, getting the whole thing cleaned up, and the owner, which I knew that he liked Tennessee walking horses. One of his friends, his buddies in Tennessee was kicked out of his barn, the buddy's barn. And so he says, well, hey, I've got this whole barn that's now nice and clean and ready. Bring your horses. And that's when I was telling you guys the other day that I have firsthand experience in this soaring and the things that these people do to their horses. This guy that I was working for obviously screwed me to a wall, and he was a family friend, and that relationship clearly is over. But anyway, brought these horses in this barn that I worked so hard to revamp and clean, and brought, basically left me three stalls, and then brought all these horses in. And I was supposed to stable my horses in the barn where all this stuff was going on. And the horses, they don't clean their stalls. They just let them grow taller and taller and taller on the backside, you know, so the horses are standing upright and they're like 7 feet tall in there. And then to get the horses out, they walk in the stall with a whip and they whip them until the horses are able to be caught. Spinner, that's crazy. They have these things wrapped around their feet at all times. And I didn't know what it was at the time, or I would have taken them off, obviously. But it was the most depressing, horrible walk in the barn, sick to your stomach, that you could imagine that I would that I had to see on a daily basis. Obviously, I made it about 2 weeks in that, because I couldn't believe I was the only person. I had all the pasture because these people don't turn their horses out, you know. So it was terrible. It was awful. And I think that the people that do this, the guy that had the barn, has a lot of money, like millions of dollars. So I think that's why it's still around, is because money talks, unfortunately.
Well, I think with the attendance being down to 20% of what it was before, and the number of entries being down, you know, eventually, you know, even, no matter how much money they have, nobody, even rich people, don't want to throw it away for nothing. So, you know, if nobody's showing up, and if, you know, it becomes no fun anymore, then it'll end on its own.
Go away.
But that's going to be 10, 20 years from now. That's not tomorrow. So, you know, let's hope that one of these Democrats or Republicans gets off their duffs and actually does something about it. And, you know, I don't know. We'll see. It's not going to happen before the election, I can tell you that. You know, so that's not till November. So it's not going to happen until then.
But, I think John Boehner needs a swift kick in the butt for that, and I'm sure many other things. But the fact that this has been brought up to him, and he's like, nope, and he's friends with so-and-so, How did anybody support this? Hey,
I know.
You think it's cool to abuse horses, okay? Just leave it on the table. It's fine. Who does that?
Yeah. There are people who have never actually seen it for themselves and don't care. So,
yeah,
that's like,
true.
Oh, speaking of which, before we go to a song, and then we're coming back with Jennifer. Jamie's going to do another reading that's a little lighter in nature from
one of our listeners
in Australia. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. But before we get to that, while we're on the political side, did you see the big headlines yesterday all over New York? You know
what?
How the mayor de Blasio there is trying to get rid of we've talked about it numerous times, trying to get rid of the carriage horses, and we're all supporting the carriage horse drivers and stuff. Well, it came out yesterday, they were having a field day with this in New York, that there's a zoo in New York City where the mayor goes to every year, and they do the groundhog thing, you know, in February, like see if he sees his shadow. Well, apparently there was this huge cover-up because de Blasio went and on Groundhog Day accidentally dropped the groundhog. Well, the cover-up was that the groundhog died a couple days later, and they did an autopsy, and it was from internal injuries from being dropped. So basically the mayor killed the groundhog. This is the same mayor that's trying to get rid of the horses because they're cruel.
Oh, my God.
It was all over the papers in New York yesterday. Mayor kills groundhog cover-up.
Holy cow, that guy needs to go away.
And then it came out that the city gives the zoo about, you know, $10 million every year. So the zoo was, you know, encouraged to keep it quiet.
Of course.
Groundhog. Anyway, it was funny. All right. That's not so much for the groundhog, but... you know what's really ironic about that is all the years we spent in Pennsylvania with all those damn groundhogs digging holes to try and hurt our horses, and we were trying to kill them, we couldn't. Oh,
that's what all Chad did in Idaho was every night take out the gun and go try to shoot their groundhogs. So,
and you can shoot a groundhog with a .22 about 12 times and it won't die, but the mayor drops it and is dead in 2 days.
Now, if we only knew. Walk the plank.
Easy Signs Online is coming up next, followed by a request from Jamie for a song today, one of her favorites, Peace, Love, and Horses. And then we're coming back with this very funny letter we got. This week's spotlight product from EasySignsOnline.com is their outdoor silhouette cutouts. Made from a long-term outdoor durable vinyl aluminum material, these cutouts will outlast the old-style painted wood ones by many, many years. A great way to add an equestrian image to your barn, horse stalls, mailboxes, houses, or campers. Choose from dozens of equestrian or animal graphics online, available in two different sizes starting at only $59.95. And remember, free shipping on most orders over $100, all at EasySignsOnline.com. Get your silhouette cut out today.
She can rope and ride, and she likes hanging. me. She believes that love is the one thing that can change anything. And she loves me, and that's the part that gets me. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
Peace, Love, and Horses by Jared Rogerson. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. Well, we are Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We are glad it is Friday. I am looking forward to the weekend. We have, like, nothing planned, no stops this weekend, just going to have fun around the farm. I did want to mention, though, in 2 weeks, actually a week and a half now, we're going to be, Wendy and I are going to be at the World Percheron Congress up in at the Big E in Massachusetts. We really would love for you to come out and see us. It's going to be on October the 7th. We'll be there. We're going to be doing the Horses in the Morning show live from there, and then also the driving radio show in the afternoon. Wendy and I are also competing in the celebrity driving competition, driving pairs of Percherons. So that should be a lot of fun, seeing I've only ever driven a pair once in my life. It's about 2 weeks ago when I went down to Wendy and said, you better show me how to do this before we get there. So it should be a blast. Helena is trying to get up there, but Helena broke her arm last week. So she fell off.
Oh, no. What happened?
She didn't duck and roll. Yeah, I got to teach, you know, I think all horse girls really need to go to stunt school and should learn to duck and roll. She, you know, went off the side and pretty much just slid off the horse and put her arm out like everybody does and snap, crackle, pop. So she's in a cast for 6 weeks, but she's going to try and get out and see us there. I did have a couple people email and say they're coming out to see us. Where were we going to be located? What I wanted to tell you was that I don't know yet. I have an email out to the people at the World Percheron Congress. They're supposed to get back to me, so we'll be able to let you know next week exactly where we're going to be located. I don't know which building. That's a big place, if I remember right. So I don't know exactly where we're going to be yet. But we'll definitely let you know next week. World Percheron Congress, you can find it. Just search for 2014 World Percheron Congress on Facebook. We're staying the whole day and the whole evening, so if you want to stay with us, that would be great. We're watching the festivities that night. They're having barrel racing with Percherons. They're doing the big six hitches and all kinds of fun different activities that night. So we would love for you to stay and hang out with us the whole day. Excuse me. That's at the World Percheron Congress.
That's
well,
awesome.
All right. Do you want to do this letter we got from Mel in Australia?
This will make your day. Will make you really happy, people. You got to listen to this. So, yeah, this comes from Mel Donald in Australia, and she decided to send a complaint to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, our complaints department. And it says, hi, Jen. I've got a complaint for your complaints bag regarding the lack of Equity MFG Flex and Forks. Oh, here we go. I'll just start the letter. Dear Joseph from Equity MFG, I am writing to complain about your flex and forks, or rather the lack of them available in Australia. I have a garden variety sold at the feed store Pooffork, which until 6 weeks ago had served me fairly faithfully. I did experience the regular road apple in the eye, which I am now convinced was my fork's way of indicating its general unhappiness with its life. Our relationship came to an abrupt end recently when I decided to build a raised garden bed, mistake number one, whilst wearing a get-a-tan bikini, mistake number two, and wielding a spade, mistake number three. She's wearing a bikini doing gardening. Sometime between placing the fork in a secure location and filling my first barrel load of compost, my aggrieved Pooffork crawled behind me and sat in waiting, ready for its final act of vengeance. After filling my barrow with the obliging spade, I took one step backwards with the barrow, tread on the downward facing tines of the fork, which did not flex, lost my footing, and fell backwards. Between the unstoppable force that is gravity and the immovable object that is the drought-hardened ground was my left wrist, which apparently does flex quite a bit, just in all the wrong spots. My first thought upon seeing my now distorted wrist was, well, I don't think I'll be riding this afternoon.
There's a horse girl for you.
Horse girl. My second thought was, ah, it's just a sprain. I'll ride tomorrow. My wrist, by the way, was completely fractured off at the end of the large arm bone, dislocated from the smaller arm bone, and had visibly migrated a few inches back towards my elbow.
Whoa. Oh, ouch.
My next and more sane thought, this is my favorite part, my next and more sane thought was, oh, hell, now I have to go to the hospital in a bikini. To add to the attire was the fact that I had been moving tires and had black wheel tread marks up and down my legs and all over my shorts. So the crux of my complaint is, had I had a flexion fork, not only would I not have suffered through countless poo balls in the eye over the years, but my left wrist would most likely be world arm wrestling champion by now and not the whiny, useless appendage that it has become. Simply because if I'd have stood on the flexion fork tines, they would have flexed and not pitched me into 6 weeks of one-handed uselessness. Do you know how hard it is to open a stubby with one hand? That's a beer, by the way. They call beer stubby in Australia. That's awesome. Please, Joseph, please, sell your forks to us clumsy Aussies. Kindest regards, Mel Donald, who should stick to riding and not gardening. P.S., broken wrist or no, I was back in the saddle in a sling within 13 days of the initial injury, given I had complication with nerve damage and tissue swelling, and I've been riding 2 horses daily ever since. However, it has been exactly 6 weeks since I broke my wrist and still can't use the dang poo fork.
Very well written, Mel.
Oh, my.
Oh, hell, now I have to go to the hospital in a bikini. God, we have the smartest, coolest listeners ever. Awesome. My cheeks hurt.
That is funny. Very, very funny. Well done, Mel. Good job.
Oh, good times. Good times.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later.
He
says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, it's time for really bad ads, but I was just thinking, how can we beat that? Let's just call it a day, give Mel all the prizes, and go home.
I know, she should get the prizes, but you're too cheap to ship them to Australia.
Yeah. Shipping them in Norfolk could probably cost about $500, so I think that's why Mel doesn't have them. I'll fly it over. How about that? How about we just take it to her personally? I'd do that. That'd be fun. Yeah.
What's this carry-on luggage?
It is time for really bad ads, the time of the week when our listeners, our wonderful, smart listeners, send us really bad ads from Craigslist and other places, and we read them and have a little fun. And Jennifer is going to tell us what the prizes are donated by our wonderful sponsors.
This week's prizes are provided by Willie Bakery. The winner will win a big box of assorted Willie Bakery cookies for horses and dogs. Willie Bakery makes delicious and nutritious horse and dog treats that your furry friends will really enjoy. Each flavor of Willie Muffin's horse treats begins with a mixture of oats, flour, molasses, and water. Next, a special mix of flavors is added for lip-smacking finish. By special, we mean really special flavors, like banana raisin, vanilla, tropical, carrot, graham cracker, watermelon, and peanut butter and jelly. And there are more. And you can find Willie Bakery horse treats at your local tack and feed store, or you can visit them online at Willie Bakery. That's Willie, singular, bakery.com. If you put an S in the middle, you don't get the Horse Cookie Company. And also providing prizes this week, Glenn's Closet. The winner will win a reasonably large recycled Amazon.com box filled with assorted crap from Glenn's Closet.
Yay, I get to clean out my closet again. That's always fun. You know what? Your daughter or your son, Luke, would really like all those treats. They're tasty. They sound tasty.
You know what?
Peanut butter
and jelly? I was thinking he probably wouldn't eat them because they are tasty, but the dog food, he'll just go to town on.
All right, the first one is sent in by Jody Hawk. Jody, thank you for sending this in. A buckskin mare, $2,500. Chez Pocus Lady is a registered 14-year-old quarter horse mare, very attractive with a very pretty head and kind eye. She is well put together and has a big sloping hip. I guess that's a good thing. She has a good mind and willing disposition. She is easy to catch. I am selling her for someone else and don't know much about her, except by accident I learned she can do 360-degree spins.
That's probably not good. Probably not a good thing.
I wonder if she has a broken wrist now.
I wonder too, like, I'm selling her for somebody else. I don't know much about her. You could just ask that person. I mean, call me crazy.
Unless you stole it, then it's hard to ask.
Yeah, exactly. This horse has been stolen. Ellen sent in the next one. Oh, God, no punctuation. Thanks, Ellen. All lowercase, no punctuation. Paint stud colt for sale. He is 2, just started under saddle, had him sold, had a down payment, no refunds on down payment. They backed out at no fault of the horse. He has had one ride. Please text and no after 9 p.m. I don't get it.
I know one thing. You're not going to get your down payment back, damn it.
So... But why in the ad would you feel it necessary to say that somebody gave a down payment and then didn't? That's not a selling point.
No. No, you're right. Some of them give us too much information. Some of us give us not enough, like this one. Beth sent the following in. WTB Good Broke Horse, $1 from anywhere. Want to buy decent horse, 2 eyes, 4 legs, sound, not old enough to vote, will give great home the best.
Not to vote. Don't really don't care what
I like
get.
It's got to be not old enough to vote.
Not 1 eye.
2 eyes and 4 legs. I don't care.
Robin sent really? The next one in. Paint stud, $1,000 in Taylor, Texas. Wow, there's a bunch of paint stud colts for sale here. Patches, 2-year-old colt. Patches is great around dog, cat, kid, like apples and carrots worked in round pen. No calls or texts after 7. You will be reported. Thank you.
To who? 911. I want to call and report somebody called me on a Craigslist ad, and it's 701.
The lack of punctuation also reading it makes it sound like the kids like apples and carrots and have been worked in around him. Patches is great around dog, cat, and kids like apples and carrots and worked in around him.
Kids like me working around. You'll learn. You're one of these days that, you know, when that crib gets too, you know, the sides are too small and he starts crawling out of that, you'll be throwing him in the round pen. Don't tell me you won't.
Oh, my God. What is this trailer?
Yeah, the trailer coming up next. Rachel set the trailer in, and it's a 2-horse trailer from $400 from Phoenix. Hey, there you go. You're represented today. Oh, look at all the cactus in the back. Yep, that's definitely from Phoenix. Two-horse trailer needs a little TLC, but is a good sturdy trailer, does not have a title, asking $400 or best offer, cash only, no checks, no PayPal. It looks like a chariot. It maybe was a chariot in Roman days, is what I was thinking. And it was driven by a very large Roman guy, with a very large horse. It does kind of look like a chariot.
It looks like something that's going to put a horse's eye out. Okay. It's like if you took one of those really crappy one horse or two horses that have the rounded fronts and the no hay, area underneath them, and then you took off the roof, but you left all the corners. There's one, two, three. There's so many corners on this thing where the horse could actually, like, tell me, Jennifer, as a horse chick, you don't see that and worry about your horse's eyeball.
Oh, my gosh, this thing is it's like... It's the poster child for sharp edges.
Oh, my gosh. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. I don't understand how people... Rachel, I don't know where you people find these things. And awesomely, it's in my city, which doesn't explain the rust because things don't rust here. I like the different size tires. I think you agree with that.
Yeah, but the tires have air. I mean, that's something. The tires are inflated.
It's
and it
up.
Is hitched. Yeah, probably because the little cranky thing doesn't work.
There's no cranky thing.
So, yeah, they had to have it hooked up, or otherwise it would be sitting on the ground, and that wouldn't look good in the picture. At least they took time to put it to a spot that is it's mowed. You know, you can actually see the trailer. Got to give these people some credit for pictures.
It's really
here.
Sad that these are the redeeming factors of this trailer, is that you can see the tires. That's really bad. That one, if you need to see this, it's on Facebook. You will not be able to look at it and not squint a little bit. Like, ugh, my, because seeing that top corner where the horse's eye is, it just makes my eyes water. Okay. Uta says in the next one, registered Egyptian stud in Cusseta, Georgia. You know what that means? I've got a registered Egyptian Bay Stallion. He's 7 years old. Great confirmation. He's not broke or handled much. We only just use him for a stud. He can be a handful of times, but he does know his job well. $600. Or may trade for Western Showtech, a usable truck, freezer beef, ATV, or guns.
What did you say, freezer beef?
I said freezer beef.
That's the first. And who really wants the beef out of somebody else's freezer?
Please do not email me. No PayPal. Will not ship. Bring your trailer, halter, and lead rope. And call me after 5.
Oh, you don't even get a halter?
Oh, wait. My name is Leroy. Let me change that. I have a registered Bay Egyptian Stallion. He's 7 years old. Great confirmation. He's not broke or handled much. We just use him for stud. He can be a handful. May trade for reusable tack, truck, freezer beef, or guns. Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
I think you to search the whole country for these. She comes up with the best ads. Stacy sent the following one in. Arab horse, $1,000. I am selling my beautiful unicorn.
Oh, God. This is
she is broken. Therefore, she is even trustable, new word, trustable with kids. She is 6 years old, and she might be pregnant. A pregnant unicorn. That's worth more than $1,000.
Wow.
I breed her with paperwork. If interested, please text me. Who would want a unicorn? I mean, really?
Okay, so clearly this person is a little delusional that they think that, like, there's too much wrong with that. Stacy, that's a good ad because that's a really bad ad. I'm selling my beautiful unicorn. She's broken. And trustable with kids. And she's sick and might be pregnant. I breed her with paint with paperwork. That whole thing, like every sentence just emits ignorance. Like,
You know what I took out of it? I took out of it that now we know that unicorns are Arabs. Right?
Well, who didn't know that? And Pegasus is our Andalusians, Glenn. Duh. Oh, no. Kim sent in this one, and this is the, I think, the best name for a horse ever. Oh, wow. This one screams ignorance, too. Kim sent this one in, and the title is Mrs. Ruthie Sugar and Cream Palomino Paint Horse. So
sugar and cream.
The horse's name, it's Mrs. Ruthie Sugar and Cream. And sugar, that's all one word, by the way, sugar and cream. Registered paint mare for sale. Very sweet 14-year-old mare, 16 hands, easy to handle and very willing to please. Turns tight and would be great for barrows. Also, easy to... Hold on. Also, easy to handle in the rain. Pineas Park, $1,200. Do you live in, go to Seattle or something?
Yeah,
she
I don't
handles
know.
In the rain. Really
handles
easy
in, the rain.
In the rain. Not so good out of the rain.
Well, you know, that's how Helena broke her hand, was it started raining, spooked her horse, and she fell off. So maybe that is important.
She needs Mrs. Ruthie Sugar Cream.
Sugar Cream. Mona sent the following one in. Horse for, I know it's a short one. Horse for sale, $500. Saddle breed, comma, male horse intact. Yep, that's it.
Wow.
That's the whole ad.
Lots,
you get a saddle breed, and it's a male horse intact. Apparently, when you come to get it, it's going to be intact. The tack's going to be on the horse. That's how you take it, the whole thing.
Sometimes, like, Mona, when you read an ad like that, don't you just want to call it just to hear what these people say about their horse? Because it won't be much.
No.
You can see him.
It's a horse. It's a saddle breed.
Don't kick tires. No tire kickers.
Right. And don't call after 7. I'll call the police.
I'll call the police. Let's see. Shelly sent in the next one. You guys start looking over them to see which ones are your favorites. I have a favorite. Horse, $500 in Greenville. Nice horse. Oh, my gosh. This is one of the ones that has multiple exclamation points. Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to read every exclamation.
No, I'm just going to count them. Let's see. Okay. Nice horse, 7 exclamation points. Too many to take care of here, comma, comma, comma. Horse, comma, needs experienced ride. 11 exclamation points. Horse is big. 7 exclamation points and a period. Horse is around 16.9. 6 exclamation
Woo!
Points and 2 periods. Can be jumped, 16. But I don't. 16.9. Can be jumped, but I don't, comma. Can be lunged, comma. Can be ridden western, but I don't, comma. Can be on trails, but I don't, comma. Can be vacuumed, but I don't, comma. Call if you want to ook at horse, 4 exclamation point, THX, the number 1, 17 exclamation points. Wow.
I love that. Can be ridden, but I don't. Can be dug on trails, but I don't. What the, you know.
What do you know?
Like, playing up the negative. Can be jumped, but I don't. Can be vacuumed, but I don't. Why would you put that in that?
Man. Oh, my God.
Apparently this person doesn't do much. Oh, that was very funny. Thank you, Shelley. My face hurts from laughing this whole hour.
I know.
So we got 2 prizes. We have the box of really, we have the box of crap from my office, and we have the Willie Muffins. So who do we want to give what to here?
Well, I think I loved Utah's the most, but she won last week. So we got to give prizes to other people. I love the unicorn. The unicorn, Stacey's unicorn. That's hilarious.
All right. Let's give Willie Muffins to Stacey's unicorn. He says, you know, muffins and unicorns seem to go together. So.
Obviously. Let's see. I like the trailer. I like Jody's. I like, I don't know. How about Miss Ruthie Sugar Cream?
Yes, okay. We'll go with Miss Ruthie Sugar Cream. I like that too. Kim, you are the proud owner of a box of crap from my closet. So congratulations on that, Kim. Thank you to Willie Muffins for donating the prize. We really appreciate it. And thank you to everybody who sent in the ads. You can send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. That's the only way we can guarantee to them.
I'm going to change Edward's show name to Mr. Ruthie Sugar Cream. Oh, that's so funny.
Mr. Edward Sugar Cream. How about Edward Mr. Edward Sugar Cream Puffs?
I love it. Mr. Edward Sugar Cream. Obviously, that should be a racehorse name. Please, somebody name the racehorse Sugar Cream. Just so you guys know, I am putting to the test all of my fantastic things I got, information I got from Kim yesterday when she read Edward on the air. And I have literally went straight to the health food store and I got the aloe vera juice because I've heard, dude, I was expecting it to be a lot, you know, and especially when you pay for ulcer medication, and I spent like, you know, $1,000 on ulcer medication for Jet. Well, I went to the health food store and it was like $6 a bottle, like nothing. And
really?
One of the bottles will cover his whole thing. I'm giving him a double dose because she said to give him 2 ounces twice a day, but that's the human dose. So I thought maybe he should have like 5 times as much. So I'm giving him a bunch because it's
bottle.
So cheap. Why not? Here you go. Drink this, buddy. So I gave him that, and he's going to be on that a couple times a day. I've heard from a lot of people, so I'll let you guys know how that works because I've heard from a lot of people that aloe vera juice, huh?
Did you try it?
Of course I tried it.
Yeah?
Of course I tasted it. It's like awful. It's gross.
That means Luke will be drinking it tomorrow.
Exactly. She told me to buy the whole leaf. Like, they sold just the, you know, where it's just the inside of the aloe. This is the whole leaf. It's like eating an orange peel. You know, it's like throwing the orange peel in with the orange juice. It's really gross. Yeah. So, yeah. But whatever. Edward's going to eat it, and he can deal with it. If I can put dewormer down his throat, he can drink some aloe vera juice. So I'll let you guys know because
you're doing cross country, right? Schooling? Is it just schooling?
Yes. We're cross country schooling tomorrow. There is a 100% chance of rain in the town we're going to. So that should be fun. We'll let you know how it goes. I'm taking a couple students.
You know what?
Joey is going to go. So it'll be fun. Yes. What?
Well, and if he does well in the rain, he'll live up to his name, Mr. Edward Sugar and Cream, because that was the one that was good in the rain. Mrs. Ruthie Sugar Cream was good in the rain. It'd be perfect.
Mr. Edward Sugar Cream did not melt in the rain. He loved it. And hopefully he'll love it because it's a 100% chance of rain. So I will be leaving here, pulling out at 5 a.m. tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. So everybody have a great week. Thank you so much for listening to our shows and hanging out with us on a Friday. And I hope you guys enjoyed Really Bad Ads. And have a great weekend. Do something horsey and fun.
Hey, everybody.
Stay neutered and yelp.
Wear your helmet and apparently wear some wrist protection.
Yes. Oh, poor girl. So funny, though. I'm going to the hospital in a bikini.